Hi guys, the radio show's about to start. I hope you join us soon. It's gonna be good.
Two-faced, two-faced, yeah. Black, white, left, right, yeah. Up, down, all night, yeah. Can't escape it ever. Don't forget my name. I don't feel the same. On a trip, no train. And all these angels and demons keep shouting and screaming. I'm falling from you. Tell my friends I'm sorry, dog. Tell my sons of God.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my amazing partner, Boris.
I'm still amazing.
Still, thank God. Our show is available live on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com, as well as social media. And just recently discovered, the show is also being viewed and listened to all over the world. We are broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available in 35 stations among 11 states, and soon after the show, on any podcast player, as well as next Sunday on SiriusXM Channel 131, the Family Talk Channel. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God, who enables us to help each other. We provide testimonials to let people know that we are not alone, as well as experts and inspirational speakers that can help. This show started with me, having been a survivor of child abuse well into young adulthood. I do believe we all suffer somehow, but with the help of God, we can be a source of healing for each other. For me, God was the only cure, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life is challenging, but there's always hope when someone cares. At least God does. The song we played earlier was Angels and Demons by Jinxd. I don't know how to say it. J-X-D-N. Some of us struggle with angels and demons that make us feel trapped. Suddenly we're not the same. Just taking a trip wherever it may lead us. As we're falling from Eden, there's nothing to gain. The world can be discouraging, so many things we can fall from, and if we get desperate, we don't believe there's a problem. Instead, we believe we are broken, especially when others think we are falling. But just before it's too late, God steps in and we hear his calling. Today's guest is Dr. Ghazi Hassan, who will help us discuss all the aspects of PTSD, also known as post-traumatic stress disorder, and alternative methods. Dr. Ghazi Hassan is a medical director of My Ketamine Home, helping many people to live better lives despite their diagnosis of depression or PTSD. Dr. Ghazi, welcome to The Cure. You're now live.
Hi, Amy. Very nice to speak with you today.
My pleasure. Dr. Ghazi, can you tell us a little bit about PTSD?
Sure. So PTSD is a disorder that we categorize people who have dealt with a traumatic experience or significant stress. They develop a couple of symptoms that... It really impacts the quality of their life I think you know, people who dealt with this condition can relate to this. Those symptoms can be flashbacks. You can feel dissociated from your body. You can feel the physical stress of it, you know, increased heart rate. And then what that does is it causes you to avoid a lot of situations and a lot of the people or places that might trigger something like that. And afterwards, you will have some, you know, negative changes in your thoughts. You kind of lose interest in the things that you used to love doing. You lose your sense of self-worth. It's a very debilitating condition.
So someone with PTSD, it can lead to depression, of which it can really debilitate their way of life, making them angry, irritable, not wanting to do anything. And the worst part of all, it can lead to suicide. So PTSD can be a very serious thing. In fact, are you aware of the prevalence, Dr. Kasi, in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think the prevalence is somewhere around 7 to 8%, at least 7 to 8% of people deal with PTSD at one point in their lives.
Out of 100 people, I believe.
Yeah, 7 to 8%.
7 to 8%. Wow. So, but not everyone that experiences a traumatic experience will get PTSD, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that's a really interesting point. You know, everyone has a different resilience to trauma. Some of that could be genetic. Some of it could be the social support and the environment around you. To help you heal from those types of events. And, you know, there's a few, you know, risk factors for developing PTSD. But, yeah, it's true. Not everyone who deals with trauma develops the disorder. And it's hard to know exactly who will and who will not.
So if somebody develops PTSD, I understand it can be situational. It can also be chronic. But once you have PTSD, is it a life sentence or is it something that can resolve? Or does it depend on the severity?
Even in severe cases, fortunately, PTSD does not have to be a lifetime sentence. You know, there's so many different ways of healing from trauma, and you know, I'm happy to have the opportunity today to be able to talk to you about a few ways that people can heal. And it's really a disorder that, you know, it comes up in the way that we think, we feel. It has physical manifestations, and you know, the ways in kind of improving those symptoms and even curing PTSD, there's many, many different ways to kind of address the problem. You know, some practitioners focus on dealing with the body, you know, breath work, movement, meditation. You know, these all kind of make us more aware of, you know, the physical sensations that arise in our body. And, you know, that's definitely one way to start to heal from PTSD. There's some medicines that have been helpful, and then there's therapy, you know, to kind of be able to resolve the underlying trauma and to really be able to, to think through and to release the emotional energy and the scars underneath PTSD.
How about kids? Kids, do they experience PTSD, and do they experience it differently? Are their symptoms different? How can parents recognize it?
How can parents recognize PTSD? That's a great question. I don't know if I have an answer for you. I don't know how kids or you know, how it presents differently in children compared to adults. That's interesting. I haven't thought about that.
I did a little bit of reading on it. You know, if the kid's wetting their bed after they've learned not to wet their bed, I mean, obviously, if you see irritability or bad performance in school, but just any unusual behaviors could be reason to look into it to see if the child is suffering from depression or PTSD. But that's another thing that I'd like to talk about. You know, some people don't know the difference between depression and PTSD, and it could be quite similar. Mm-hmm. It can mimic one each other because PTSD comes with depression, and then there's depression by itself. And, you know, depression is something that's very difficult as well. From what I understand, especially being someone that has PTSD, is that with PTSD, your depressions are just a little bit more severe. Am I correct?
Yeah, it definitely can be. You know, PTSD has kind of its own criteria for diagnosis. Shares some aspects with depression. When we think of depression, of course, we think of you know, a depressed mood. You know, it's the emotions of feeling sad, having low self-worth. Other things that people feel is a lack of pleasure.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. The criteria that tells you what PTSD is when we return.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Okay.
Amy Cabell and The Cure.
This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, and the courage to keep moving forward with the help of God. I want people to know that there's hope. I was forced into my abortion because I didn't think I had a choice. I want people to know there's choices.
Well, Amy, my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that I love you and I thank God for you.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Every Saturday at 1 Eastern on the Truth Network.
I can't see past my own nose. I'm seeing everything in slow-mo. Look out below, crashing down to the ground, just like a vertical locomotive. That's a train in my painting, the picture that's in my brain. A train from the sky, locomotive. My motives are insane. My flow's not great, okay. I conversate with people who know if I flow on a song, I'll get no radio play. While you're doing fine, there's some people and I who have a really tough time getting through this life. So excuse us while we sing to the sky. I'm standing in front of you. Standing in front of you, I'm trying to be so cool. Everything together, trying to be so cool. I'm standing in front of you.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back to The Cure. This is Amy Cabell, and thanks for tuning in.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app, The Cure, or later as a podcast, wherever podcasts are.
The song that just played was Scream by 21 Pilots. The beautiful thing about experiencing the good and bad things in life is that one can relate to others. Not everyone has the same experiences, and we never know who's being cool but really hurting and frustrated inside. But see, God is a good guide. It's okay to keep it together and play it cool. You'll be surprised that you feel it, even if it's just for that moment. It's a great tool. We can be fooled and develop a different state of mind. So I learned that staying close to God is the only peace we'll find.
Wow, you're a poet again. People should know what you're taking, like what are you on with all this nice dancing in songs. Okay, good.
We're talking to Dr. Hassan about PTSD.
Yes, we are.
Dr. Ghassi, is PTSD situational or chronic? Once someone develops PTSD, can it resolve or is it something we just have to learn to live with?
Oops, I think we are having you. Now we're having you.
I think that, are you able to hear me?
Yes.
That's a great question. And, you know, there's parts of PTSD that are definitely situational. When people have some kind of, you know, there's some kind of environmental cue that would normally be for, you know, for someone who, without PTSD, just kind of a neutral, you know, sound or neutral environment, or it is a trigger for someone with PTSD that kind of brings them back to the moment of the trauma, and it just kind of stimulates all of the physiology of stress, and that's kind of what's going on with people who whose body's adapted in that way. And so it's a maladaption. You know, there's no reason for your body to have that kind of reaction to a normal thing. So, you know, kind of treating PTSD is sort of dissociating the trigger and, you know, the feelings that you have after. So there's a lot of therapies kind of designed specifically to treat PTSD, but if you can kind of get rewire your body to not react so negatively to neutral situations, that's the cure.
And what is the symptom criteria that you need to meet to be diagnosed with PTSD? From what Boris tells me, is that you can have PTSD but not meet the criteria to be diagnosed.
You can have, I'll mention a couple of things that you think about when you think about PTSD. One is intrusive symptoms. So intrusive symptoms can be flashbacks. You know, you go back to the moment in time where the trauma happened. Dissociation, where you you're in an environment that becomes stressful, and then you just like feel like you're out of your body. Obviously, you can feel like the physical symptoms of stress. You know, increased heart rate, sweating, lightheadedness. And then a lot of people have, you know, very vivid dreams, nightmares, very distressing. And then because of all this, people learn to avoid situations that put them there. And so a lot of people, they can be less outgoing. It's also characterized with negative changes in thought and, you know, a change in arousal. You know, people might have difficulty concentrating. They might be startled easily, become irritable or aggressive, have trouble sleeping. So there's a lot of things there. And, PTSD, the diagnosis, obviously has to be made by, qualified medical professional, because there might be a lot of organic reasons why people might have some of these symptoms. You know, but the constellation of symptoms and with a specific trigger might give you a clue.
Right.
Okay. So and you have to have the symptoms more than a month.
Right. They have to be persistent for at least a month, and it has to occur at least two times within a year. Right.
Two times.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be two incidences.
DSM. There's the DSM criteria that's like very specific. You know, the DSM is there designed to give psychiatrists a uniform language to talk about constellations of symptoms that they see.
Right.
And so, yeah, you'll get those very specific criteria from the DSM where it says that it has to fit into this box to be called something. But, you know, it's more of a, you know, in clinical practice, it could be a little bit more dynamic. You know, you just kind of look at the entire clinical picture.
Right.
You look like the entire person.
You look at the person, exactly.
Yes.
What is the person going through?
Right.
Oh, I was just reading that there is a study about some brain biomarkers that identify risk of severe PTSD. So interesting. So much the study, I guess, and the medicine is advancing.
Yeah. I think that is really interesting if, you know, because PTSD is such a wide range of symptoms. There's probably not one uniform, like there's not one common or not one single pathway that is involved in the neurobiology of the condition. But one thing we definitely know about states of chronic stress and even PTSD is that chronic stress causes neural atrophy. So atrophy is, weakened neural connections over time. And one of the ways that we, the patterns that we see in the brain with chronic stress is we see decreased number of synapses in the same brain region than for, compared to healthy, healthy people. So what's happening is that, there's a global phenomenon in the brain that the connections that you have from one region to another, all the ways that the neurons talk to each other, those connections weaken over time. And there's some disorders in, the primary neurotransmitter between neurons, which is glutamate. So there's a dysfunction in, the growth factors and the neurotransmitters and the physical connections in the brain that happen with chronic stress.
So it's not just one inventing it. Got it.
And not only that, it's a very serious topic, especially with the crazy times that were going on these days. Because in doing some research myself, I realized that a person can develop PTSD and doesn't even have to experience the traumatic event. It can be a friend or something that they've seen happen to someone else.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something that can just happen to anyone. In fact, I feel like I'm getting PTSD from what I'm seeing on TV these days.
Yeah.
I don't have to experience it to feel
for others.
I think
I can diagnose you with that. Yeah. We were talking with Robbie earlier today too about all these poor people that are closed in nursing homes that nobody gets to see them. Imagine the level of stress and anxiety that they're going through.
So when we return, we're going to talk about ways to help, what treatment options there is available, and how we can help one another, how we can learn more about it.
We'd love to hear from you.
Back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
From my stress, these stress levels are not healthy. I'm waiting for that call saying records are not selling. I wonder when this all disappears and they forget me. Will I feel like I found who I was to be more empty? I wonder, was I wrong thinking this is where God led me? Or did I get involved with something that was too heavy? I drive until I'm lost and just sit in my car yelling. My inner critic talks, I'm just hoping that God helps me to stop stressing. Yeah. Someday, I just wanna leave the negativity in my head. I just want relief from my stress. I just want relief from my stress. Someday, I don't wanna see or have a bunch of people to impress. I just want relief from my stress. Yeah, I just want relief from my stress.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. And remember, we're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio and on our app, The Cure, and our website, godisthecure.com.
All shows are available as a video podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo on Apple Podcasts, for example.
The song that just played was My Stress by NF. There comes a point in our life where we realize change for the better must happen. The negative thinking must stop and a new language developed. It's when we question our state of being, we consider the state of our spirit. Does our soul also need healing? Did we get too far and the yelling's louder? Or is it time that we fight even harder? God never gave up on us, and He was always around. It's when we hit rock bottom that new strength and direction is found. Turning to God keeps us grounded and relieves any stress, for He's constantly waiting for opportunities to bless.
Wow, you're a poet again.
We're talking to Dr. Cassie Hassan discussing PTSD.
Which is post-traumatic stress disorder, for whoever doesn't know.
Dr. Gassi, I wanted to discuss, well, we're going to go into treatment options, but I wanted to discuss complex PTSD. There's a difference between PTSD.
Is that in DCM? I mean, I don't even know, but there is a...
That's fairly new.
DSM.
They just discovered.
DSM-5.
There's a more serious PTSD. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Or if not, I can. I have it.
Doctor, we have you. Go ahead, Doc.
From what I know about complex PTSD, and please, you can elaborate on the the newest categorization, but it's just PTSD that comes up from severe, chronic, extremely threatening trauma. So it just, it can be trauma of any kind, but it's just that I think in the severity of the case.
And the repeatability.
Elaborate further on that.
Right, and the repeatability gets repeated to a longer period of time.
Well, complex PTSD, I think it's developed when it's long-term trauma. It's constant exposure to the trauma over long-term. And it just means that PTSD is chronic. It's not something that is just going to resolve, such as situational depression. And it's something that we learn to live with, because God is good.
And then you dance in songs. Got it.
You learn to enjoy life.
Okay. So...
Go ahead.
With treatment.
Is there a difference between... PTSD and depression?
Major depression.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a difference. Depression is just the what we were talking about earlier, just that kind of the, mostly characterized by the depressed mood, the loss of pleasure in things, the worthlessness, guilt, thoughts of suicide or death. And there's a lot of physical manifestations of depression, too. People, lose energy. They have difficulty concentrating. And then they, you can either gain or lose weight, depending on how you deal with your depression.
Right, but isn't that almost the same as PTSD? I mean,
you can have all those symptoms with PTSD, but I think PTSD is mostly, it's more characterized by, a hyper reaction and being tense and stuff like that, or a depressed person has no energy. They can get angry, but they normally don't have the energy for that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me to highlight the difference between PTSD and depression, I think that they're pretty different. With PTSD, you're getting the intrusive symptoms. That's not characteristic of depression. Intrusive symptoms of flashbacks, of dissociation, the nightmares, that's not something you see in depression.
Inability to sleep.
The avoidance of, and that all interferes with the ability to sleep. And then this whole avoidance phenomenon. In depression, there's not, aside from being socially withdrawn and just the lack of motivation to talk to people, PTSD, you're avoiding having this very traumatic feeling come up, and you can feel it. It's a both mental and physical, sensation. It's just an all-encompassing, stress response. That's not something you see in depression.
There doesn't even need to be a trigger. Yeah. They can just, blow up out of nowhere.
You have this heightened startle response. You're just, very, very, very small fuse, and you can be very, irritable or angry very quickly, and that's because your neurobiology has kind of adapted to be in this state, maladapted. It's not a good adaptation. It's just what happens, and so kind of on diffusing the bomb over time and kind of rewiring the neural circuit is one way to heal from this. And so if you ask me the difference between PTSD and depression, they're two very different things.
Right. So, and when it comes,
you know, like, there's no confusion between them.
Right. When it comes to PTSD, because you overreact, suicidal ideation can be quite dangerous, because they tend to act on impulse and really don't think about things. And that's, you know, I happen to know that firsthand experience, but God is good. So let's discuss some treatment options. You know, what do you find to be effective when it comes to treating PTSD and complex PTSD?
There's so many ways to really kind of to look at this. The more traditional approach has been with more traditional antidepressants and therapy, and there's definitely a role for both of those. There's kind of been an evolving literature on PTSD and a framework of looking at it. You know, the mind and the body are not separate. They're, you know, and anyone with PTSD will know that, because, you know, if you're in an environment and you have a trigger, you feel it, you know, everywhere. You know, you get the very visceral body response to stress. So, you know, using the body as a way to heal is another very powerful way to kind of rewire the brain to not react that way to triggers. So some of those tools include breath work, yoga and meditation can be helpful. It might seem, not enough for some people, and it might not be enough for some people, but, you know, I don't want to just throw those away. There's things like EMDR, eye movement desensitization. So, you know, it's very interesting how, our minds are able to heal by using the body and engaging the body. But when it comes to pharmacology, there's one area that I can kind of highlight that we use at my clinic, and it's been very effective, and that's the role of psychedelics in mental health.
Especially when it comes to medication-resistant depression, which comes with PTSD. But please continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And psychedelics have this unique place in mental health. There's been a huge boom of literature in the 1950s. Unfortunately, that promising research got stopped in the late 1970s due to a lot of social and political reasons.
When you say psychedelics, mushrooms. You know,
not just mushrooms, but mushrooms are psilocybin is the active hallucinogen in magic mushroom. So a lot of people might see popular news media coming up about psilocybin at major academic institutions. Psilocybin has been very well studied at Johns Hopkins, and people have used it effectively to deal with, you know, kind of like the existential crisis at the end of life in cancer patients. It really helps us get a new perspective on life. So psilocybin is one. LSD or acid is another one. Ketamine is a non-traditional psychedelic, but a very potent psychedelic.
And also, it's a drug, approved drug.
It's the only legal and widely available psychedelic in the United States.
So that's what I want to discuss, because we're coming up on a short and a hard break. But when we come back, let's discuss treatment options for those who are medication resistant.
And if you have tried mushrooms, give us a call. 1-866-34-TRUTH. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, and the courage to keep moving forward with the help of God. I want people to know that there's hope. I was forced into my abortion because I didn't think I had a choice. I want people to know there's choices.
Well, Amy, my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that I love you and I thank God for you.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Every Saturday at 1 Eastern on the Truth Network.
I know it's all you've got to just be strong. fight just to keep it together, together. I know you think that you are too far gone, but hope is never lost. Hope is never lost. Hold on, don't let go. Stay one step closer, put one foot in front of the other. You'll get through this. Just follow the light of darkness. You're gonna be okay.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for tuning in. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, on our app, The Cure, and on social media. Just look for God is the Cure.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast, as I said before. So please search for The Cure and subscribe and also rate us. And that way, you're not going to miss an episode.
The song that just played was You're Gonna Be Okay by Brian and Jen Johnson. It's all about taking one step at a time. And always moving forward, knowing this too shall pass, as we were promised that we will never face anything we cannot handle with God by our side. Holding on is worth it as long as we're alive. Circumstances can change in a drop of a dime, as they have many times before. Yet it turned out okay, and sometimes it just opened another door. There's a light we can follow amidst the darkness. A hope we can believe in for a better tomorrow. We will be okay. I know it can be hard to understand, but if only we allow Him, God will take us by the hand. Even if we don't believe, something's got to give. We're talking to Dr. Ghassi Hassan about PTSD
and treatment of PTSD.
Dr. Ghassi, at what point is ketamine the better option in the treatment options for PTSD?
As we don't have mushrooms and LSD.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. It really just depends on your views of traditional medicine and kind of the more traditional route. What's interesting about ketamine is its rapid acting effect. It's true of the response that people get with depression. People start to feel the antidepressant effects within just a few hours, and it's really amazing how effective it has been for depression. And some of the same mechanisms that help battle depression seem to be useful in treating trauma as well. With PTSD, one of the things that we were talking about earlier is that chronic stress leads to a breakdown of the synapse, and you start losing synapses over time. It's just one of the things that we see in the brain. And one of the fortunate things with ketamine is that it very directly works on the receptors and the growth factors that rebuild synapses. And so, in a very direct way, ketamine restores healthy brain function. And we see it not just on the biochemical level, but we see it, there's been animal studies that show that when you give ketamine to animals before some type of stress, there's actually a protective effect against stress. So those animals happen to be more resilient. And there's another thing that's wonderful is that, after the stress itself, ketamine administration helps with something called fear extinction. So fear extinction, we learn fear, right? So fear is it's an adaptive response. We should fear certain things like heights and dangerous situations and lions, but we shouldn't fear going outside and then getting into the car or going to the supermarket. Those are things we should not fear. So ketamine, administered, it helps the neuroplasticity of the brain, the ability of the brain to adapt. And so with this, you know, with this medicine, people are able to extinguish fears that are impairing their life. And that's one of the, you know, core concepts with PTSD, is that, you know, all this, you know, all these intrusive thoughts, this, you know, heightened irritability and anger and, you know, negative thoughts, it's impeding your life. So ketamine is a very direct treatment to help rewire the brain. And that's just that's the medicinal side. You know, that's what we know on the biochemical level. But beyond that, ketamine, you know, in the context of psychedelics, allows for people to have very spiritual experiences. You know, whatever your faith may be, you can make a lot more meaning. You know, there's a sense of connectedness with the universe and, you know, with the higher power. And it can be a very beautiful experience. You know, it's a much shorter acting psychedelic, and, you know, in a medically supervised, scenario, people can very much relax.
Let's just say that, sorry to interrupt you, that we don't promote people using ketamine in their homes or whatever in parties. That needs to be used only in medical settings under the supervision of a medical professional.
Yeah. And it might be surprising for people to learn that ketamine is a legal medicine. You know, most people may associate it with other things. That, you know, people think of it as a horse tranquilizer or a club drug. And it's not that it's not those things. It's that ketamine, since early 2000s, there's been, you know, dozens of clinical trials, 4,000 plus patients across a variety of conditions that have attested to the safety and effectiveness of its use in mental health. You know, we have, we've also developed an oral program for people. A lot of people think you have to get IV ketamine. That's not true. Oral ketamine is extremely effective. You know, it's available. People can do this at home with the right education and the right support. And it's proven to be a very powerful tool in mental health.
Well, I can attest for both because I've done mushrooms and I've done ketamine.
Wow, I haven't.
So, no.
What do I do first, mushrooms or ketamine?
I know first-hand experience.
Okay.
Mushrooms, you're way out of it.
But that was before, right?
But if you're in good company, it can be a very fun trip. Of course, I was much younger. All the trees became rainbows.
Yeah.
But, you know, the trees had rainbow colors. They were all different kind of colors, and it was fun. I was with good people. But I don't recommend it. But I do recommend ketamine because it is a very easygoing thing. I mean, you just have to learn to let go. And what I do is I close my eyes until the medication takes effect, and you just go into a different realm where you realize that whatever was bothering you, whatever was upsetting you, not that really big of a big deal. You get the idea of a bigger picture. You feel more connected. You feel more yourself. You get a great big understanding that you cannot remember afterwards. How much fun. But you do come out being the best you, being feeling like you're blessed, and you kind of like that feeling. So after a while, you want to transfer that after being exposed to it. You want to transfer that to real life. And you find ways of have similar feelings in real life. Because, of course, real life is always better than an alternative universe. But that gives you a kick start, especially when you know nothing but misery. Learning to feel okay and to feel good again really helps.
See, that's a first-hand experience of a ketamine-used patient. No, patients used ketamine. There you are. Okay, so...
But another thing that's very important, though, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Cassie, what's been your experience with spirituality? Does it help with PTSD?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so happy that you... And first of all, that was a very beautiful description of what's possible with ketamine. You know, people have a variety of experiences with ketamine, and I would say that the people who tend to do the best are the people who tap into that spiritual side of them. You know, it connects you with your sense of purpose. It connects you with this sense of, you know, universal love and, you know, just your humanity. And that's a and the bridge is tapping into those parts of your brain, taking them with you outside of the experience, and developing more lasting and durable behaviors, attitudes. And you know, some people, you know, they come right out of the experience and they kind of radiate that. And for some people, you know, making meaning from the ketamine experience is greatly helped with the addition of therapy. You know, therapy is that bridge to take the story, to take your story, you know, using ketamine as a tool for insight, and to really, you know, be able to rewrite that and in a much more positive way.
Nice. And I just wanted to mention another thing. There is a bunch of studies for PTSD right now that have exploring new medications. So people definitely can look into that options, like go to clinicaltrials.gov and search for PTSD, and maybe they find a research center next to them that have new medication that is being tried for PTSD. And by the way, we have only a few minutes left, so we need to get off.
we're done with the show, guys. This is the end. I'd love to be here forever, but I can't. Thank you, Dr. Bessie Hassan, for being on The Cure, helping us show to our listeners that PTSD is manageable. More information on Dr. Cassie Hassan can be found on myketaminehome.com. Again, thank you, Dr. Hassan.
Amy, it was such a pleasure. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Boris. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
So let's finish with the prayer. We like to do that. Prayer for restful sleep.
For patients with PTSD.
Because they find it hard to sleep. Righteous Father, we pray that you would grant us rest. We ask that you ease our anxiety due to PTSD and end our painful thoughts. May your peace descend from on high and allow us an opportunity for true restfulness. Please be merciful in allowing the blessing of sleep. We pray that it would bring us relief and encouragement about the future of our life. Lord, let your glory be known by granting your healing touch on us. Amen. Actually, another prayer.
Yeah.
A prayer of courage, for courage. Eternal One, we ask that you grant us the courage to deal with the difficulties of PTSD. Please grant us a sense of calm and confidence and peace of fear and doubt. Let our loving embrace supply us with the much-needed fortitude in the face of these trials. May your endless love and holy example, by means of our strength and peace, please be gracious and help us. Let your reputation be one of a generous Father who delivers gifts to those who call on him in faith. Amen. Thank you to Jasper, Robbie Dillmore. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure.
With Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.